Hello and welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. It's Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022, but we are already looking ahead to Friday. On today's show, the City Museum will be here to tell us about the new exhibition of paintings by Carrie Kirkpatrick. Moonlit Poets will be on to talk about their poetry and prose reading. Juno Makerspace will share the details of their party and fundraiser, and Kathleen from the Jack will give us a rundown of everything else happening this first Friday, along with all of the events I just mentioned. Those conversations, Sounds Wild, Savory Moment, music, and more coming up right here on Juno Afternoon. Weather, coodly goose, it's cloudy right now, overcast and breezy. Forecast for tonight, rain, and tomorrow showers with highs near 40 degrees. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akkwan. The Hlinedi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. The tidelands where our studios sit are now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots, but they were once a source of food, a place to maintain smokehouses, and a place to gather driftwood for fuel. In sharing this history, KTOO hopes to honor the ancestors and the descendants of the Akkwan. We recognize those families who have never relinquished their ownership and stewardship of their land and waterways and continue to cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront for today and for future generations. And we'd also like to take a moment to say thank you to the individuals who helped us craft our daily land acknowledgement. Gunas Chish to Vera Starbird, who planted the idea of making it super place specific and guided us on pronunciation. Lillian Petershore, who created so much of the beautiful structure. Ishmael Hope, who gave additional ideas, and Ernestine Hayes, Bob Sam, and Fran Houston, who gave important feedback. We are grateful to all those offering guidance as we grow as an organization. This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Today's show is all about First Friday events, and here with me is Beth Weigel and Carrie Kirkpatrick, representing the Juno Douglas City Museum. Hello and welcome.
Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you.
Thank you both for being here. This first Friday, kicks off the 2022-2023 solo artist season, and Carrie Kirkpatrick, you are the first featured artist. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about your work?
Let's see. This show is about Southeast Alaska. People will recognize many places around Juno, or if you're out on the water at all, some of the waterways. For me, it's about capturing the light of Southeast Alaska. It's so different than places down south where we have the weather changing so rapidly and the change in daylight that we occurs throughout the year, whether it's snowing or you can see the mountains on a bright day. But those are all transitory things that happen. And so this is an attempt to capture those pieces so I can look at something in a longer time frame.
How did you get into painting?
One of those silly stories that I've been painting since I was a kid. My grandfather, who was stationery store salesman and traveled around, brought me paint by number kits and colored pencils, and of course I loved horses, so I drew a lot of horses. That kind of launched it, and then I got my degree in landscape architecture, actually, and in that, doing lots of presentations, you're doing a lot of artwork, so that further pushed me towards painting and art, and just love doing it.
I understand you use a lot of different kinds of media, mm-hmm. Maybe even mixing them, oils, watercolors, acrylics, mm-hmm. more. Is it too hard to choose a favorite?
No, I've done watercolors for, I don't even know, maybe 30 years. And there were things that I wanted to do with paint and expressing myself that I really wasn't able to do with watercolor. So then I started pushing into acrylic and oil. They allow a lot more layering than watercolor. You can't really cover things up with watercolor. So started going that direction.
Do you mix up different kinds of media, or do you, mm-hmm. is one painting going to have one kind of paint?
Usually one, but I do have a couple in there that are a combination of, one's acrylic and oil, one is watercolor and acrylic. So, yeah.
Very cool. The show is called Capturing the Light, and I know you already kind of touched on that. Do you want to say anything more about the theme or the title?
Yeah, I think I did kind of cover that. People would see, I think, again, quite a variety of types of light that we have here in Southeast Alaska, and, you know, fun to see places they know, see if they recognize them.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I understand there are 32 new paintings in this exhibition. So is this something you've been working on for a long time?
Yes, yes. When I first applied to the museum, I thought, okay, I've got a year to put this together. And there's a couple of pieces in there from the previous year, but most of them are all new paintings this last year. So, yeah, I scheduled my time well this year.
That's so exciting and quite an accomplishment. So
yeah,
congratulations.
Thanks. Thank you.
Beth, turning to you now, are you familiar with Carrie's work? Have you seen the new paintings?
I've been enjoying watching them go up. We've obviously seen small thumbnails of them prior to the installation, but it's amazing because when only you see some small thumbnail, you don't get a real sense, even if the dimensions are there, you don't get a real sense of the varied sizes of everything. So, you know, there's some very sweet smaller things that'll be in a case, and then there's very large things. I think there's even a sort of a triptych in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just creating such a wonderful, you know, dimensional kind of experience on the walls.
And this first Friday is the opening reception. Of course, people can come and see the paintings, see the exhibition. And I understand the museum will also be curating a Q&A with Carrie on Saturday?
That's right. So we always offer that opportunity to our solo artists. And I think you were a little hesitant, perhaps, about this. But we have our new curator, Corey Woodall, and she's said, hey, I'm happy to come in and sort of do more of a question and answer style format instead of placing all of the responsibility onto Carrie to, you know, just give a presentation. So that'll be our format for Saturday. We'll be a Q&A, and you can come and meet our new curator, Corey, and meet Carrie, of course, and learn a little bit more. And Corey's been working at, you know, a big art museum in San Diego for 10 years. So she's a really wonderful art expert when it comes to, you know, digging in and talking about the artwork. So I think it'll be a really great opportunity to hear about process as well as just, you know, influences, whatever. So I think it's going to be wonderful. And I think the one thing that I'm really interested in is, you know, some of Carrie's work is so almost, it looks like a photograph. It's so realistic, right? And then there are other pieces that are, you know, a little more blurred or a little more, I don't know if
abstract
that's the right word, but yeah.
It is.
And so it's just really neat to see things from a very different perspective through her work.
And Corey's been great. I mean, she has had such good input on, you know, how to hang things and what looks good together and the flow. And yeah, she's obviously done it before.
Yep.
That sounds like a lot of fun, and I hope you have a great turnout, and I hope the Q&A goes well.
Thank you.
Beth, what else is going on at the museum this month?
So we're also having another little mini opening on First Friday. We've had the pleasure of having the Arboretum installation and exhibition there for a while, and we've changed that up, and I was really inspired when the Salmon Creek Dam was nominated and became a new National Historic Landmark for civil engineering and this past summer. And they gave a wonderful presentation, all the different engineers and people involved with that organization. And I was like, let's get some of these images up of the historic building of the structure, which happened, of course, in 1912 and 14. And lots of people go up there, and it's just amazing. It was the, you know, first continuous arch dam ever built. So it, you know, influenced things like Hoover Dam and stuff like that. So we'll have some images. We've got some original images that'll be framed and on the wall, and some didactic panels for telling a little bit of the history, and then a slideshow with some of our photographs in the collection.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then we're also doing our usual November writing letters of encouragement and honor and recognition of Dr. Walter Sobolev. And of course, you know, November 14th each year was designated as Walter Sobolev Day, but we want to honor him all month long. And he was, of course, well known for his letters of encouragement, handwritten letters of encouragement and words of you know, thanks or gratitude. And he, of course, was someone who was very influential in our community. He was born in November 14th in 1908 and died in 2011 in May. And he was, you know, just did all sorts of things. He was involved with the Juneau Lions Club, the Grand Camp, A&B, the University of Alaska Fairbanks, the Alaska National Guard, and of course, his Presbyterian pastor at the Juneau Memorial Church. And we just love this event. We love people coming in, picking up the note cards. There's a little insert that talks about him. We'll provide the postage. We'll even mail it for you if you want to write it right there. And we have school groups that, you know, teachers request the cards. And you can also pick them up at the libraries. And, you know, he had a way of just saying, or was known for saying, when you give, feel good about it. So give your gratitude, give your encouragement to people as we slide into the dark here. And yeah. I think that's a good message for us.
agree.
Yeah.
So people can come in and take a note card and write a letter of gratitude to anyone they want.
Exactly. Wow. Or encouragement if you need to feel like somebody's having a hard time or this is a hard time of year for them. You know, you can just encourage them to keep going.
Cool.
And then we have our annual friends meeting that comes up, our friends at the Juneau Douglas City Museum, who we couldn't operate without. We're so appreciative to our friends group and all the people that are members of the friends group. So that'll be on Tuesday, November 15th, and it'll be from 4 to 5 p.m. You can join by Zoom. You can come to the City Museum in person this year. And we don't have a speaker per se, but our city manager, Rory Watt, is going to join us, and we'll hear a little bit about... of course, we just had this municipal election, which the 1% for sales tax extension passed, and there's $2 million there to work on thinking about a potential new museum in a different location somewhere in town. So we'll hear what that startup might look like or how we might start to think about that process. So
neat.
From our city manager, and then I'll give an update, and, you know, we'll just do our officers if there's anybody or... our board, if anybody's out there who's interested in being in the board, certainly give us a call and we can put you in touch with our current board members who will be putting forward the names of new people for re-election.
And this meeting's open to the public?
Public is certainly welcome to join us. You wouldn't be able to vote if you weren't a member, though. So if you haven't renewed your membership or you've been meaning to join the Friends of the Juneau Douglas City Museum, you can visit their website at fojdcm.org.
Great. And we can go to your website to see details of any of the events that you mentioned today and to see a little preview of Carrie's work.
That's right.
Thank you both for being here today. Is there anything else you want to share before we say goodbye?
Thanks so much for that. And I'll encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, Shelley.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you so much. So
you could write me
I'll write you a note.
Yeah. You know where I work. I would love that. I hope I get a note this year and I'll have to try and... go send one as well.
That's right.
So thanks again to both of you, and I hope you have a great opening on First Friday.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here.
All right.
Thanks.
Coming up, we'll learn all about moonlit poetry and how we can be a part of their reading this Friday. But first, here's Savory Moment. This week's episode is called Taking Stock.
Step in to the savory moment. Have you ever found yourself preparing to dive into a big, round pan of seafood paella? One that's erupting with fat shrimp, juicy clams, and mussels cradled inside iridescent blue butterfly shells? You closed your eyes and inhaled. Then you took a bite. In that moment, all was deeply right with the world. Or it wasn't. If you can't quite put your gustatory finger on what was or wasn't so right, I'll help you out. It was seafood stock. Either the paella cook used it, or they didn't. Seafood stock makes any meal containing fish or shellfish taste genuine, authentic, real and true, bona fide. It's one of life's great mysteries why seafood stock isn't used more often, since it's incredibly easy to make. For a version using shellfish, just fill a pot with crab or shrimp shells, cover with water, and add salt to taste along with a few peppercorns, two bay leaves, a shallot or small onion, some parsley, and a celery stalk. Simmer until you have a rich, flavorful stock for which there is no imitation. But shellfish stock isn't just for an undertaking like paella or bouillabaisse or gumbo. You can also use it in something simple, like rice, to accompany your next seafood entree. Just substitute seafood stock for water. Garnish with fresh tomato slices and chopped parsley, and you've got a side dish that tastes deliciously bona fide. Find the full recipe for bona fide shellfish stock at savorymoment.org. I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
Hands and grass, ka eat with the shoe ye, we ka shook a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin talk anachaya ha anikach, gunish cheesh.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney, and my next guests are both pretty big names on the poetry scene here in Juno. Welcome to Michael Christensen and Summer Coaster. Hi, friends.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here today. It's been a long time since I've seen both of you or talked with you. So for starters, I was wondering if you could just kind of catch me up on what you've been working on this last couple of years as far as your writing goes.
I just made a coalition or compilation of my moon poems.
Nice.
Cool.
I thought that would be appropriate.
Yeah.
How about you, Summer?
Well, the pandemic was kind of challenging, and I found poetry too depressing, so I ended up writing satire because I found that was humor helped me process the challenges of the pandemic, and I kind of went a little crazy and published like 50 satire pieces.
Wow. You had some of your work published in some magazines, right?
Yeah.
That's great.
McSweeney's. It's pretty... prestigious. I'm sorry, I can only talk like this when I'm bragging.
Well, fancy.
You're kind of a big deal, so it's okay. You're both here to talk about moonlit poetry. Speaking of the moon, did either of you see it last night?
Oh my gosh, yes.
It was so beautiful. Right amazing. At sunset, right over the down the channel. Yes. I know it's not headline news when the moon is out in most places, but it had been a long time since I'd seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, and Samhain and Day of the Dead was yesterday.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And the full moon is coming up in about 5 days. So I was wondering if you could tell me a little about moonlit poetry and how you got involved, and I understand it kind of follows the cycle of the moon as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were at a poetry reading at Nugget Mall, and I was on the fence about getting back into producing poetry in town, and she pushed me off the fence.
Well, into the right direction.
Yeah.
To be fair, Mike came up to me and he said, "My dream," because it was, you know, we're supposed to whisper, "My dream is to put poetry back where it belongs, in the bar." And I said, "I'm sold. How can I help?"
That is a great story. So you've had one reading so far, just the one, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did that go?
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, it was really. It had been 900 days, I suppose, since we did Jim Croce.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
And it was like it was very elevating.
Yeah, it's in the back room of the Crystal Saloon, and they have redone it. It makes you feel like you're going into, I mean, I was getting like Brooklyn warehouse vibes. I don't know if what I would imagine. It just feels like you're not in
but
Juneau.
But it's small. Mm-hmm. It's industrial and intimate.
Intimate.
Yeah,
it's
simultaneously.
It's the perfect place to just like be raw and authentic, and but like take the edge off.
Yeah.
So, and we encourage people to sign up and perform something, whether that's, you know, some, usually it's poetry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some kind of interpretation of prose. And it's, you can have a drink or not.
You can sign up. You get five, everybody gets 5 minutes.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
And it's only about an hour long?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
7 to 8.
Mm-hmm. And it's at the Crystal Saloon in the back room. And it sounds like it's kind of like an open mic. Is that mm-hmm. how you would describe it, or is it a bit different?
Yeah, it's like an open mic.
Yeah.
You just sign up to read.
And, you know, it's early in the process for it, mm-hmm. so we're building a community of people we'd like to hear. I'm trying to drag them out.
I read that sign-ups start at 6:45 if you want to come in, and that this weekend's, this Friday's, will be emceed by Katie Bosler. I imagine you take turns.
We're looking for new MCs as well. So you don't have to read. If you want to be an MC, you can come and do that.
Are you both planning to read something this Friday?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'm going to break out probably some moon poems.
I can't imagine that if you're there, you wouldn't read something. And since you're here, did either of you happen to bring anything to share? Something you could read a bit right now?
I just did this.
Oh, good. Yes, Mike worked very hard to find something.
Out. Yeah.
So.
Look at that.
Go ahead, Mike.
So I was talking to Bob Dylan, and he said, I can make a song out of anything. And he took his keys out of his pocket and jangled them. And I said, challenge accepted. So this is called... He didn't talk to me. I was just talking to him. So this is called Jangling Keys. A crackling fire, a squealing tire in a wet parking lot, rustled sheets, the waves at Sandy Beach, a gunshot, ice skates cutting figure eights, clucking ducks raising a ruckus, a penny dropped on a plate, the roar of the crowd, a kiss out loud, a city soundscape. Graphite across rough paper, the crinkle of her chiffon dress, a door closing, a single sonar ping. The rich little of ravens, shallow, uneven breathing. Children's laughter, rain hitting the gutter, the rumble of a diesel on the side of the road, electricity buzzing, paper being crumpled, the scream of the trees in a 50-mile-an-hour breeze. Air brakes, avalanche, mosquitoes buzzing, the scream of a dirt bike, the clank of the chains of command, scalp scratching, clatter, chatter, crickets.
I love that. I could hear almost every single one of those sounds as you read the words too. It kind of formed a weird song in my head. Very cool, Michael. Summer, how about yourself?
Okay. I have to give a content warning for this poem. The content warning is it's a little spicy.
This is public radio, you know.
Oh, wait, hang on. Let's see if I can pull it up. So it's definitely radio appropriate. And it was inspired by remote learning my children while trying to do all the things.
Yeah.
I relied on my dishwasher in ways that we all probably did. But anyway, okay, here we go. It's called Bless This Dishwasher. You purr while you work. Do as told. You never scold when I forget a dish. and pry your cavernous mouth open, dripping, ravenous for more feed, sweating like on the cusp of when babies are conceived, the kind of heat that teases a third degree but saps away the day instead, the kind that rolls you over and puts you to bed, still wet, without a kiss, oh yes. Yours is the ride or die intense, the 100% who gets her done with the press of a button, just like that. God bless dishes glowing and dewy. My fairy godmother, you are my crutch, my therapist. You are the guy in Atlanta refinancing my house with no face or history. You have never disappointed me yet, a controlled tempest. Me in the car with all the windows and doors closed, screaming. I praise.
Thank you for that. And thank you for the bleep.
I thought of you while I was filling the dishwasher yesterday.
I think I will too.
I was just realizing, like, oh, maybe this isn't really appropriate for radio. As
I think it was just fine. Okay. Very sweet. I like that. That's a really cute one. Thank you for making me appreciate something I take for granted, but use all the time. Well, that is just a taste of what's to come. Thank you, Gunos Chish, Mike, and Summer. This first Friday in the back room of the Crystal Saloon, the poetry reading starts at 7 p.m. Sign-ups are at 6:45. Is there somewhere online we can go and find out more?
I think there will be.
There's a Facebook event, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. There's a Facebook event.
Okay.
Moonlit Poets.
Yes. I think Katie Bowsler, who's going to be our MC, put up an event. We're also, I might have mentioned, looking for other MCs, so if anybody wants to come out and MC, we have a position open. Thanks for having us on.
And when is the next full moon after this one?
December 8th.
Okay.
I think we're going to have the reading on the 9th, but I should probably clear that with the crystal.
Well, here's hoping for clear skies. Thank you so much, Michael and Summer. I hope you have a great time this Friday.
Thanks,
Shelley.
I'm Shelley Delaney. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Here with me now is Lou Isaac from the Juno Makerspace. Hello.
Hello, Shelley.
Hi. Thanks for being here today. Could you please introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about how you're involved with the Makerspace?
Okay. I'm a lifelong artist. I did 30 years supporting myself by using art to do interior design and residential architecture in the Seattle area. Because they don't pay you to be an artist, but they do pay you to be a designer or an architect. And that way I could afford to support my kids, which they appreciated, being hungry boys.
And you supported your art habit too, I'm sure.
A little bit. And a few years ago, my partner and I moved up here to retire to lovely Juneau because Seattle is insane and I didn't want to live there anymore. And one of the reasons we knew we were going to move to Alaska, one of the reasons we moved to Juneau was because of the Juneau Artist Gallery.
Oh, it's yeah.
Because I like to make art, but I don't really like to sell it. So if I have somebody else who will help me sell it, that's better, and I can just make art more. And then a couple of years ago, we had spent some time in South Africa and got stuck there during COVID. Stuck there for 8 months. And when we got back, I needed a place to be studio because I live in a small condo. And I rented a studio from the Makerspace and just fell in love with the whole space and the whole idea. And I've been spending a lot of time there ever since.
I just wanted to ask, how did you know you wanted to retire to Alaska, somewhere in Alaska?
Oh, I hope my partner isn't listening to this. So it's all about inheritance taxes.
Oh, I see.
Because Alaska doesn't have inheritance taxes, and Washington State has huge inheritance taxes. And my partner was an academic, and his wife was a physician, and they were just both very frugal and saved all this money, and they have a son they would like to give it to instead of the state of Washington. So we ended up coming to Alaska.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, welcome, and we're lucky to have you. Tell me a little bit more about what goes on at the Makerspace for those who don't know, and then anything that's new or different.
Okay, so the Makerspace has been going on for several years. It's a movement that happens all over the United States where people just get together and share time and space and materials and tools to enable everyone to make things that they're interested in making. And Juno's had one for several years, and a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, they moved into a large space over on Douglas that had formerly been a church. It's a big building with a huge central room and a stage, and it has a kitchen, and it has all these rooms that sort of radiate around the big central space that I presume were sort of classrooms for Sunday school. And so that layout has enabled Makerspace to have an electronics studio and a wood shop and a crafts room and a ceramic studio and a huge kitchen and two rental studios. And I'm renting one of them. I'm an oil painter, and I'm renting one. And I have my 60-year collection of stuff there,
wow,
which is really, it's really wonderful. And the people who are there are all there because they want to be there and to share their space and to bring their creativity, and we get to see what each other does and share the materials. And if I need anything, I can always run to another studio and get it, whatever it is I need. It's just been a wonderful place to be for a creative.
That's very cool. I know that when people think of the Juno Makerspace, they might think of like a place to make pottery. There's a wheel and a kiln, from mm-hmm. what I understand, or paint like you do. But don't you also have a 3D printer?
We do. That's the electronics studio.
Yeah,
yeah. And 3D printer. Yeah, lots of. We have
wood,
lots of
laser cutter.
Yeah, new materials are coming to us all the time. You know, as people leave Juno or decide they don't want to do anything anymore, or their eyes fail them, or whatever happens to us with age, we inherit a fabulous array of tools and materials. And so there are lots of things there to play with.
I think this is just a good way to remind people that it's there as a resource, and
yes,
that there's a lot more there than what you think. You really got to go and check it out.
Right, right.
And coming up this Friday is your event called the Hometown Hoedown. So tell the good people all about that.
So this was it's an event for us to have a good time and to invite other people in to come have a good time with us, to listen to some fabulous music, to play games, to we're going to do a lot of crazy stuff, and we're going to have some. It's a BYOB because we don't have liquor licenses, but people are doing that. But we're going to have food and lots of entertainment and dancing and great music. And we hope that people will come see our fabulous facility, which was large and kind of cold and dreary when we moved in. But I used my background as an interior designer to repaint it so it's got bright colors and shapes and lots of dynamic life to this space that people are really enjoying.
That's great. I haven't seen it in about a year and a half, so I'd love
you
to
should come see it.
Come
it's
back and see it.
Come
again.
Come on Friday night and come dance.
Yeah. So this is Friday night, live music, doors open at 6. This is your fundraiser, and the proceeds of this, as well as the memberships, are kind of what keeps it going.
Yes.
What sort of things does the financial support go towards?
So rent is a big one. You know, we're renting the space. We want to keep it up. It's an old building. The plumbing fails regularly. We have to, you know, there's a lot of maintenance. We have to, we would like to do some more signage so that we're easier to find. It's not a difficult place to find, but we don't have signage out front. We're still working on that.
Someone kind of has to show you where it is.
Yeah, it's about a quarter mile north of the bridge on Douglas, and it's on the uphill side, so it's where the big radio tower is on the waterfront, straight up the hill from that. It's 3915 North Douglas, and it's a dark road to drive down.
Yeah.
But hopefully on Friday night, there are going to be a lot of cars there, and you'll be able to tell what's happening. We're going to make a splash.
Yeah, I won't be able to miss it. Lou, I know you're biased, but what do you think is important about having a resource like the Juno Makerspace in our community?
I think anytime we can do anything to enable people to let their creative juices flow, it enhances our community. That's one of the best things about Juno. Almost everybody is an artist or thinks they're an artist, down to little tiny kids. We all think we're artists, and we should be given a chance to let that shine and flow and grow. And that's exactly what Makerspace does.
Can you think of any examples of projects that couldn't have been completed anywhere else?
Well, lots of people. Yeah, people build boats.
Wow.
The first year I was there, there's this long, thin hallway that goes between the kitchen and the rest of the building. It's about maybe 5 feet wide. It's got a door on one side, and it's about 40 feet long, and it's got a door at the other end. So it's just a hallway to nowhere to outside. And some guy had found or gotten a hold of a huge tree that had been felled. I think it was a cedar. And they milled it to boards that were like 6 inches thick, and he put it in that, it was in that hallway that was 60 feet long or whatever it was, huge boards that were drying over the winter. That was
wow.
Really unique. I've never been anywhere that did that before. But people use it, you know, we look at that space and everybody who walks in has a different idea about what they can do with that. Oh, you know, we have a big 42-foot boat, and we made a cover to put over it in the winter. And we could work on it spread out in the auditorium in this space because there was enough space to do that. Having enough space to do big projects is a gift. It's a gift.
Definitely. And what about classes? Classes have been offered at the Makerspace in the past. Are you guys going to be offering any classes?
We are offering some classes, and there are things that are planned. I'm sorry Rachel Jusler didn't get to get here. She has some a variety of ceramics classes that are going to be offered. Right now, one of the things that I do is life drawing, and I run a life drawing group on Sunday afternoons from 2 to 4:30 every Sunday, where we have models and we all gather in a little space and pull the curtains around us.
Yeah,
so
I understand
that we're
private. There's kind of like a stage with curtains.
Yeah, there's a stage with curtains
now. That's kind of new.
Which also enables us to heat that small space, which the models really appreciate.
They do. That's great. Well, where can we find out more about the Hometown Hoedown happening Friday and other things going on at the Makerspace?
So you can contact us at info@junomakerspace.com. There are flyers about the Hoedown posted around town. Let me read it to you here. It's the admission is $25 per person, and Makerspace members are $15. It's a BYOB. We're going to have some hot food and hot cider. It's on Friday, the 24th, and it starts at 6 p.m. And
it's on the 24th?
It says Friday, November 4th.
I was going to say, I thought it was
I have
Friday.
Cataracts. We're lucky I can read this.
Okay, I was going to say, I think I've been telling everybody that it's this Friday.
It's the 4th, I'm sorry.
All right, great. This Friday, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Lou, it's been a pleasure to meet you and talk to you. I hope you have a great time on Friday. Thank you so much for your time
Thank
today.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. And with me is Kathleen Harper, here representing the Jack and Centennial Hall. Hi, Kathleen.
Hey, Shelley. Great to be here again.
Yeah, great to see you. I understand you actually have an event to talk about that is not happening this Friday. It's happening on Thursday.
That is right.
And it's called Marketing Matters. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, this is a really exciting new program that is a joint kind of venture between the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, Travel Juno, Downtown Business Association, and also JEDC. So we're all working on this together and are very excited about it. The first event is tomorrow night. The very first of the Marketing Matters seminar series.
good.
And it will include a panel discussion with both a marketing panel and a creator panel. So people who like put together the things that you need in order to really market. So photographers, web designers, graphic designers, that sort of thing.
Who's going to be on the panel?
Well, we've got an exciting list of panelists. For the creator panel, we have Ryan Andes of Out the Road, Photography and Videography. And then Pat Race of Lucid Reverie and Alaska Robotics. And then Riza Marvel of Z-Squared Studios.
Cool.
And then for our marketing panel, we have Tana Peters with Alaska Seafood Marketing.
I know her.
Yeah. And then Will Race with Cedar Group. And Jessica Ray with Kachemak Communications. And they're out of Homer. So we've got kind of a breadth of very small teams to like huge giant marketing empires with the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. So it's going to be really great. And then after the panel discusses some things, we'll have a speed dating session where content creators can meet up with businesses who are interested in trying to like brush up their various marketing materials through the winter here as we then like gear up for the next big summer season. So yeah, it's going to be really exciting.
Who should come to this event?
Any businesses out there who maybe have like you have a staff member who you're making do all your marketing for you and they're like, what do I do? How do I start? Like
I don't that know what staff, you're talking about.
That staff member might be well suited to come to this just to start kind of getting a sense of who's out there and how to kind of maybe prioritize things. And then content creators who are out there, so like your web designers and graphic designers and photographers and people who can offer their services to maybe make it so that that poor staff member doesn't have to go out and shoot high quality photos or videos or design a website from scratch. So we have all these really great people here in our community, and sometimes you just need to get them connected, you know?
Get them all together.
Exactly. So... And we plan to continue the series in the spring with very, concentrated boot camps for specific topics like web design and photography and social media, which I know is in everybody's brain.
So how many events are in the series, and are they all, you know, different from each other?
Yes. Yeah, so this one is going to be kind of an introductory thing. With the panelists kind of concentrating on, like, why should we care about marketing and, like, how can you really leverage your assets and your dollars for, like, the most bang for your buck, right? Mm-hmm. And then in the spring, we'll be putting together those, like, deep intensives. And we plan to do a deep intensive for websites, a deep intensive for, like, getting really good photography and photos of, like, your spaces. Like, if you have a website that has a 10-year-old photo of your business, then maybe you should think about refreshing that.
Yeah, because time to update it.
A lot's changed in 10 years. So, but then how do you go about getting that? And, like, you know, nobody wants to just do the old cell phone thing because, like, is it a good photo? Is it not? Is it the right thing? So...
These are all great questions.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what we're trying to make Juno better at, how we communicate what we all do. So, yeah.
Excellent. So that's this Thursday. When and where, and where do we find out more information or sign up?
The Marketing Matters seminar will be at the Jack starting at 5:30 and go till about 8. You can either buy tickets just for the panel discussions, if that's all you want to do is just sit in and listen, or you can also buy tickets for the panel discussion and the speed dating section if you're like, I really need to get my feelers out there and find out who's doing what. And those tickets are available. JEDC has set up a Eventbrite. And there's posters around town with a little QR code that people can scan to buy tickets, or you can just show up tomorrow. There are limited spaces left for the speed dating. So if you're really interested in, like, I want to network and figure out, like, who I can talk to, you'll want to get on it soon. But panelists, you can just show up for tomorrow night.
Excellent. Thank you so much for telling us all about Marketing Matters. It sounds like a great resource for people out there who are looking for advice or guidance on this kind of thing. So I think it'd be a great event. But now, that's enough about Thursday. We got to talk about Friday again.
Yeah.
You have a show at the gallery at the Jack. Do you want to start with that?
Yeah. This is really exciting. We're starting up a new partnership with UAS and their Northwest Coast Arts Program. and we'll be having a show of those students' work, including weaving, carving, and form line design, in our gallery through the month. And we're hoping to make that a long-lasting partnership and do that hopefully every year. So that's something to look forward to, kind of like the pottery show that we have every year from the UAS Pottery Department.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're really excited about that. Yeah, it's a great program, and it's good to have those students' work be able to be seen by the community.
Definitely. So that opens 4:30 on Friday?
Yep, that's right.
Same time, same place?
Same time, same place.
Very cool. I'm sure that's going to be a great, really interesting like body of work to check out.
Yes, yeah.
Cool.
And
then the rest of the list, we've already talked about a lot of stuff that's happening on Friday, but there's even more.
And I know that we're short on time here, but there are so many different locations with really amazing shows going on. I don't have enough time to talk about them all, but I will say Alaska State Museum, the Juneau Douglas City Museum, Marie Drake Planetarium, Hearthside Books, Alaska Robotics, Sketch Studio, Triangle Club, Crystal Saloon, Annie Kale's, Shoe Fly, Rainbow Foods, Devil's Club Brewing, and Rainforest Yoga all have submitted events happening at their spaces for this first Friday. And if you want to find out more of exactly what's happening at those wonderful locations in our downtown area, you can go to jahc.org and click on the First Friday Events button there on the homepage, and it'll take you to a list of all the fun activities and what's going on.
That's great. Are there any in particular that you'd care to highlight?
There's a lot of really kind of fun and unique stuff. This time around, there's the thing happening at the Triangle Bar is an annual napkin art contest.
I love the napkin art contest.
So if that's something that you are into, that might be kind of fun to check out. And then the State Museum has Allison Bremer. That looks like it's going to be a really interesting exhibit as well.
Yeah, I read about that one. She's also known as the Caffeinated Raven, and that exhibit goes through January. So it opens to Friday, but I hope to have her on the show to talk about it before it goes away.
Yes, yeah. So, and there's so many other things going on. I would definitely check it out. This is, November is definitely gearing back up, and it's kind of like a dress rehearsal for Gallery Walk, which will be next month.
I know. Can you believe the next time you're on the show, we're going to be talking about Gallery Walk?
I know.
December. Oh, my goodness. So everybody get mentally prepared for that.
Yes. And I know all of the different
locations.
We'll
have to give you a half an hour on that day.
I know. We have to bring in some of the Downtown Business Association folks to help talk about that, too.
Okay. That sounds like a great plan. Kathleen, as always, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Shelley. Really enjoy it.
See you next time.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Working in my backyard garden on a summer afternoon, I notice a bird fluttering in the alley, right up against my car. It's at the driver's side window, and I can hear it pecking and bumping against the glass. It's a junco, and I realize it's fighting with its own reflection in my side view mirror. It's aggressive, but it seems unlikely that it's going to hurt itself. I had a pet parakeet as a kid, and he had a mirror in his cage. He treated his reflection as a companion, and he would tap his beak against the mirror, preen his reflection, and sing to it. It's pretty typical. Most animals don't understand that a reflection in a mirror represents them. Only a few animals can pass what's called the mirror test. Those are killer whales, bottlenose dolphins, and some chimps and orangutans. Among birds, only magpies are known to recognize themselves in a mirror. Biologists put small, colored spots on magpies, little stickers that they couldn't feel. But when they were given a mirror and when they saw their reflection, the magpies reached up and they scratched at the mark. The junco sees the reflection as another bird. Juncos have a social hierarchy, and it's likely that this is a dominant male feeling challenged by this rival he's seen, which is actually his own reflection. Sounds wild. I'm Riley Woodford.
This week on Revision Alaska, KTOO's new documentary film series, Episode 6, Aya Prune.
I want to make sure that they don't have to go through the struggles that I did.
Learn how Aya Prune Lottie Jones founded one of the first Indigenous language immersion schools in Bethel, Alaska. Watch on KTOO 360 TV, Thursday nights at 8, or stream anytime.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Juneau Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, another new episode of Culture Rich Conversations, hosted by Christina Michelle and featuring entertainment journalist and influencer Nye McGee. So tune in for their spirited discussion about hot topics in Black culture right now, including the Kanye West controversy. Juneau Afternoon currently broadcasts Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. on 104.3 KTOO Juneau and 91.7 KAUK Juneau Auk Bay, also online at ktoo.org. The show repeats at 7 p.m. right here on this public radio station. Support for Juneau Afternoon is provided by Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Clinkett and Haida Social Enterprises. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juneau Afternoon is produced by the KTOO Arts and Culture team with help from Boston Christopher and Aaron Tripp. To listen to individual interviews, see links to anything we discussed, or to be on the show yourself, check out our website at ktoo.org/JuneauAfternoon. And until tomorrow, have a great Juneau evening.